All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Alexander, the word, Alexander is Alexandros. It just means man defender. But Alexander it's kind of interesting to figure out who he was. So let's look at a few scriptures where Alexander is discussed. The coppersmith is the word chakrios, which means at work. They work in any metal. It's forming metal or. Let's go to Mark 15. This is at the crucifixion, verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So that's one possibility that this Alexander is. Now let's go to Acts 4.
He might have been a follower that turned against him later on there.
Right.
I guess he's writing from Rome. Is that
the reason? He's in prison.
I'm sorry, no, I didn't hear what you said to go to.
Go to Acts 4. As they spake unto the people, this is Peter and John are imprisoned. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Albeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass in the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So this Alexander is a relative of the high priest. So it's possible that they're the Alexander from Cyrene and this guy are the same, but we don't know. Now in Acts 19.
Yeah, the idea maybe he traveled to Rome to carry this complaint that started the whole thing.
Right. Acts 19, verse something or other. Now this guy called Demetrius is causing all kinds of trouble in Ephesus. Let's just start in verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which is the same word, which made silver shrines for Diana, bought no small gain unto the craftsmen. And he didn't mean silver shrines. They made these little objects that were kept in the homes as amulets and sacred idols. And which brought no small gain to the craftsman. When he had called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. When Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples allowed him not, or suffered him not. And certain of the chiefs of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So this guy may be the one. Because it from the context, it appears that Alexander, a Jew, had become a believer. Now let's go to 1 Timothy.
That wouldn't hurt Paul.
They weren't trying. They didn't say that Alexander hurt him. And they just drew him out.
I thought that was the point. Alexander, the coppersmith, causing much trouble.
Not yet.
No. This is, okay. We're just trying to find out different. All right. Now let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 17. Paul is speaking, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So this Alexander, in order for him to be considered a blasphemer, he would have has to be first a believer. Do you understand that context?
This sounds like it might be the same guy.
I know. Like, right. I think it's the same guy. So now let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord rewarded him according to the works." So we know that it wasn't, more than likely, it wasn't the Alexander, the son of the Cyrene guy that held the cross. It might be. We know that it probably wasn't the relative of the high priest, Caiaphas, but it might be. But we know in Acts, it probably was him. And we know in 1 Timothy, it was him. And so this Alexander had been, to my view, Alexander had been a believer. And he was then a companion of Hymenaeus in 1 Timothy, which indicated that their testimony was that the resurrection is past already. and they made, they overthrew the faith of many, and the word to eat is just gangrene. And I think this is the Alexander that testified at the tribunal. Now, Nero, we've talked about this before, but Nero was one of the three of the tribunal. What was going on at this time was that the persecution of the Christians had started, because they recognized they weren't part really of the Jews who had gotten this sort of by saying they would. So now the persecution of the Christians had started in Rome, and it was pretty massive. And now Nero is having the tribunal to accuse him of all these charges. We don't even know what they were, but no one. Well, we got to look at this in context. Speaking of Alexander, it says, "Of whom be thou aware, or beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer," which this is what he's talking about, "no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Now, the word "stood" there is a word that means, it's a technical word, which means they appeared in a court of justice for the defense. So what that's saying is Paul had absolutely no one that spoke for him, not an attorney, no one. No one stood up to defend Paul. He was left alone, and in fact, one of his followers at least testified against him. So that sort of sets the stage. And we don't know, all we know about Alexander is that he was a companion of Hymenaeus, and that Hymenaeus and Philetus, they overthrew the faith of many because they said the resurrection is past already. So their theology would have been one, they may have said they believed in Christ, they may have said that, but it was time dependent. So the resurrection was past, and it may happen, it was going to happen sometime in the future, and so it allowed the people to be kept alive, if you understand what I'm saying. Christianity, in their view, could exist without your death, because Christ is coming back to walk the earth. It's part of the Corinthian heresy. I forgive me for this, but I had an image of me now with all these enemies that I've made testifying against me in case I was in that position. And they would be vehement testimony. So, that's the only way I could put flesh and blood on this scene. But it is...
We would all send in our email testimony.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Okay, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much. Much is polys, which means great or abundant. Evil. He's done me much evil is the word kakos, the opposite of agathos, the opposite of good. It means it's translated as pernicious, much harm, etc. And the Lord reward him. The Lord is kiros, which just means the owner. Reward is give what is due according to his works. Now, so Paul is saying to God and to his people, he's not very happy with Alexander. And so he's saying to the God, reward him according to his works. But the fact that no one stood with him, he says something else. He says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So all, and there are abundance of Christians in Rome at this time that knew Paul. Not one stood with him. Because of the intense persecution that was going on, no one stood up for him. So you got the picture now of this? So after this tribunal, they had to go in two stages, like today. There's the trial to find out whether you're guilty or not. There's the punishment phase. So he now is at after he was found guilty, and now he's awaiting his punishment phase. But he has no doubt that it's going because of the words he used. It's a drink offering, so he knows he's going to be beheaded. He's in that deep, dark, dank place in the dungeon. And no man stood with him. Can you imagine the heartache that that caused in him?
I see something in here about, Alexander, the Lord reward him according to his works. It's probably Alexander wanted to be rewarded according to his works because that was what his theology was.
Right.
At that point. So it's like, let him go ahead and be rewarded, you know.
Right.
It's like,
let him play out his own theology. He's not saying God punish him. He's just saying let him be rewarded according to his.
We're rewarded according to our work.
Yeah. All right. And then verse 15. Of whom be thou ware also? Ware is philosso, which means be on guard. Be careful. Be. So he's telling everybody to beware of this Alexander, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, greatly is a word, it's Leon, L-I-A-N, one vowel point away from Liam. But it means exceeding beyond measure. He has greatly withstood, set against the Logos, our word, the Logos. Now, just to give you an idea, let's look at how greatly is used, because it's kind of interesting. First, go to Matthew 2:16. Anyway, you see now why I want to study Acts next, right? This is when the angel had told them, Mary and Joseph, to take the baby and get out of town. Verse 13, and when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared, when the wise men had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. And that's, if you're interested, that's in Hosea 11:1. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. I mean, again, this is this word, Leon, exceedingly beyond measure mad at the wise men. And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, so that were under two. So you see the word exceeding, and how we're talking about how Alexander the coppersmith exceedingly withstood Paul. Let's look at another one of Matthew 8. This is when the confrontation with the demoniac. In verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the, I can't even say that word, Gergesenes, they met him, two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. So that's this word, Leon, that no man might pass by that way. So it's used of this fierce opposition by the demon. It's used of the fierce opposition of Herod. Now it's used in a positive sense in Mark 9. Verse See, if we had John's little machine, we wouldn't have to go flipping through pages.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking if this counts as a phylactery, since I have it on me all the time.
It's a phylactery.
It's sort of a...
Yeah.
Did I get any points for that?
No. You're probably going to hell because you own one. Oh, we're in Mark 9. I'm sorry. This is the transfiguration. And he said to them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. So the word exceeding there is exceeding beyond measure in its brilliance. So I just wanted to get you to the idea how the word here we got about how this Alexander withstood him, how it was used. I mean, it's used in a way that's beyond measure withstood. All right. Back to 2 Timothy. At my first answer, answer is the word where we get the word apology or apologetics. It's apologia, and it's a verbal defense. And if you're listening, it's used in several places. It's used in Acts 22:1, Acts 25:16, and 1 Corinthians 9:3. But in Acts, the book, it was what Paul before the various things where he was making his own answer before King Agrippa and before others. And at my first answer, no man stood. As I said, stood is paragenomai, which means one who appears in a court of justice for the defense, on behalf of the defendant. And forsook is the word we talked about just recently, where it was used by Jesus when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's used by Paul when these others forsook him. It means to leave helpless, to abandon him. And it's an emotional word. And Paul is saying with everything in him that at my first answer, no man appeared on my behalf to defend me. It just blows my mind. I mean, it shows the weakness of even the early saints. We all might have great ideas that we would be heroes, but we probably all would be cowards. And the word then...
When you think about what he was going against...
The Roman Empire.
Yeah, I mean, it's so huge that... there could almost be no other response because everybody else had already committed their whole lives to that way. And then this comes along, backed by what Jesus had done.
But it's now interesting. He said, I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. Laid is that word that means, it's an accounting term, logizomai, which means to account all of the charges and account. But... it means no man would have this abandonment of Paul laid to their person. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, in this sense, they didn't really, Nero, you know, it was like, these kinds of things would come all the time, and you had somebody come explain what the reason was, and then you had other people say, well, you know, this is the way it happened. It's like having, there were no other witnesses against whatever Alexander brought from from wherever he was.
Right.
To say, so, you know, they look at it and they go, okay, we've got one guy saying, just defending himself.
And they may have other
witnesses that say, you know, this is going on.
Yeah, it doesn't say how many other witnesses there were. But I was going to read this again, this thing that about how each of the disciples died. But I can't find it. How come I can't find that?
Well, after a certain number of years, the paper just tends to disintegrate.
Don't start. Anyway, you remember that every one of the apostles and all of the early leaders, like Barnabas and others, they all were found guilty of... Remember all of the charges after the great fire in Rome? The charges against the Christians were that they hated humanity. And so there was similar charges with every one of these. You know, Thomas was run through with a lance in India. Stephen was skinned alive. Or Stephen was stoned to death. One of them was skinned. One of them, James the Lesser, was thrown off the Temple Mount and then beaten to death because he didn't die with a fuller's club. I mean, every single one of them. And all they had to do was change it slightly to say that the resurrection is past already. And that is so central to the mystery of God that you must die. You must accept your death that happened 2,000 years ago. And now your only life is Christ. He is your only self. Anyhow, anybody have any other responses? John?
What's interesting is that they care so much. I mean, there's such motivation to this issue that they'll kill you.
And think they're doing God holy service.
Yeah. And so there's so much behind it leading to that very small, huge issue. It's like it destroys everything about them if somebody comes against that life and death point.
Yeah. Because you're an enemy. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the enemy of every form of thought that has ever existed in the world. Every philosophy, every political system, every economic system. We are not of this world, and it's time that each one of us started living that way. That your walk would be the same as what you believe. I'm going to do one thing again. This is, go to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You can't help but speak if you believe. But you shouldn't believe, you shouldn't speak until your belief is tested. I'm determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus.
It can only be wrought in you by Christ Jesus, by your waiting. Amen? Mm-hmm. We're about to finish 2 Timothy.
That first reading, was that guy's name Demetrius, who was the coppersmith guy who made the little idols and sold them to people and made a lot of money?
Yeah.
And suddenly somebody's preaching against that, so it interferes with his ability to make and sell the thing. So he's, did that not go on today? I mean, if this guy was alive today, he'd be a lobbyist or something.
Yeah, he got into politics. Cause
really?
Yeah, I mean that's right. I mean, if you
it wasn't because he was dedicated to the gods or anything.
No, just making money.
I thought it was interesting that we read a thing where Jesus is talking about the kingdom. You know, this generation isn't going to pass until. So some people here, won't die before the
kingdom.
See the kingdom coming in power. It's like that's where we live.
Amen.
All this other stuff is.
We are of the kingdom of heaven, not of the kingdom of earth. All righty, take it, big guy. I will turn this off.